last time we started the introduction to Derech Hashem. Hey, welcome. Last time we started the introduction to Derech Hashem, and in that we discussed, or the Ramchal presented, basically the way to categorize the entirety of knowledge in a systemized and organized way. Why did he do that? That's what we're going to cover today. And to just foreshadow that, personally, and this is not based on anything overtly in the Ramchal's introduction itself, this is just my own personal understanding, I would actually break up the introduction into three sections, which is very Ramchalian of me, so I feel like he would appreciate that. To break up the introduction into three sections. The first one, what we covered last time, was what I call section A, which is, how does one organize knowledge? And what we're about to start right now is what I would categorize as section B, which is a focus on one of the things we talked about last time, one of those means to organize knowledge, which are, what is the one that we use as a kind of banner for the Midrashah? Klalim. So part B would be Klalim, which are the things that need to be understood first. That's section B, and that's where we're going to start right now. Again, those arbitrary divisions are my own, but that's how we're going to transition into right now. We're on the paragraph that starts with the word V'omnam. Does anybody not see it? V'omnam. Anybody, yes, see it? Awesome. Good? You got it? Got it? Name, I forget, I'm sorry. Margalit? Did I get that right? Margalit? No. What's your name?
Aliza.
Aliza, sorry. I'll get it down. It'll take me a little bit of time. Is there even a Margalit in the room? Or is she
under with you? Yeah, there is one.
Oh, there isn't. Okay, but this is Aliza. Okay, good. And?
Aviva.
Aliza, Aviva, and?
Shira.
I'm only pointing you through that because you're the new people in the room at the moment. Aliza, Aviva, and?
Shira.
I'm going to get it in a week or two. Okay. The Omnam. Tsarich shetit bonein. One needs to contemplate. Shehine mispar ha-pratim. The number of details that are out there. Atsum me'od me'achilotam sechel ha'adam. There are an impossible number for the mind of a person to be able to truly hold them or contain them. All of the details that there are to know, to understand. Ve'iyaf sharlo ladat kolam. And a person can't know all the details. It's impossible. We look at it especially in the specialized world we live in this day and age. Right? As I think, and this was even close to a decade ago, as Onayar Bayam once said, like, you can have a specialist in specifically diseases that relate to the left ear of children only. But like, you have that. You have specialists that are so detailed that they can spend their whole lives legitimately reading endless articles and studies in every single form. We've gotten so detail-oriented. I think another Rav once commented, like, you know, you've reached close to the Geula when they have a whole sefer on Hilchos Asher Yatzar. Like, who has time to read an entire sefer on Hilchos Asher Yatzar alone? But like, that's the point we're at, and it's not meant to be in a negative way. I mean, there are definitely negative pieces of that. There are negative ramifications of being in a prat-oriented reality. But it's a good thing because we have tremendous amount of knowledge. But in the same vein, with all of those details, how can you possibly contain them? It becomes not difficult, but impossible. So he says, V'ulam, ma'ashira oilo shi'ishtadil alav hu'idiyat ha'kalim. Therefore, what one needs to strive for if one wants to truly not just understand things, but understand and maintain them, is knowledge of the klalim, of those general principles. He called klal b'tivo, because every klal in its nature, Kolel Pratim Arbe, has many details in it. Like we talked about, the example of Klal and Prat that we gave last time was? That is a, the other one, that is a Kol and a Chilek. What's a Klal and a Prat? The Klal being humanity, and a Prat being every single person within that. It's hard to remember 50 individual people. It's easier to remember humanity as a whole. And when you know you're meeting a human being and not a horse or a zebra, well, then suddenly they go into a category, and it's much easier to remember what you met or who you met. That's a kind of wild example. But the point is, when you know the details and you know the general principle that it falls into, it allows you to maintain those details. It gives you the context. Okay?
Your children are
actually develop their understanding that way. Like, they can only understand, like, truck at first, but then, like, they can get in, then later on, they can get into, like, fire, what type of truck? It's a fire truck.
And we do that mentally also. There are memory studies that show that if you give a person a list of 20 items and you give them a minute to memorize them and spit back as many as they can, if you give a group of people one list and on those lists are 20 items that have no relationship to one another, they're going to remember much fewer, which is intuitive to us, but like they've done studies to prove this psychologically. Whereas if you give a person a list either where all of them relate to each other, like they're all vegetables, or they even relate to each other, they're all items you would find on a shopping list in the supermarket, even if they're not all vegetables, they'll be able to retain and then give back many, many more items on that list than the people who they're just 20 random items. Because inherently, we're built to try to move toward creating the klal that's there. And that klal allows the person to retain that information. But it's a vehicle that we use all the time. When we make different lists of things and we categorize them by lists, we're making a klal. Klalim help retain and organize information in our minds. The example that we gave a couple of weeks ago, you know, if you take, like in the Dora Mabul, if you take Giloy Arayot and you take Gezel as the two things that destroyed the world, and instead you put them as a distortion of Chesed, again, you give that bubble to hold them both, you'll remember that those are the two sins that related to the sin of the Mabul. But that klal allows you to hold those pratim in your memory much longer, much more efficiently, much more meaningfully also than without the klalim themselves. Therefore, klalim are the primary things that one wants to make sure to learn and understand. Because the better and more refined klalim, the better and more refined vessels you have in your mind, the more, going along with the analogy, literally and figuratively, the more you can contain. The better your vessels, the more refined your vessels, the more appropriately and well you can contain things inside of them in you. Does that make sense? And therefore, klalim take primacy in terms of the acquisition of knowledge. Ki kol klal b'tivo, every klal in its nature, kolel pratim arbe, has many details. Ukashi agia kol klal echad, when one has an understanding of a klal, nimsa masig me'ilav misparav mina pratim, then they'll automatically understand many of the details. Because when you understand the nature of the klal itself, the general principle, it's dictating to you what things would fall into that category. And suddenly everything starts to snap into place. Ve'afal pi shelo hivchin bam adayin, and even if one hasn't observed them yet, v'lo hikir hiyotam pratia klal hahu, meaning even if one hasn't seen a particular prat, or doesn't recognize that they're pratim of that klal, ki hine, ki sheyavo kol achad mehem liyado lo yaniach mi lahakir oto, then when a person does come across that detail in the future, meaning just because I built up this klal in my mind, I may be missing details. I may not know certain things yet. I still have a lot of things to learn. But because I've built up that klal, when I then come across those pratim in the future, I'll have a meaningful place to put them. So not only will it organize what I already have in my mind in a way that I can keep it and maintain it and organize it in a meaningful way, but it will also create the foundation for the acquisition of further knowledge as I come across it over the course of my life. Liyaniach mila akiroto will be able to recognize it kivan shekvar yadua etzlo ha'inyan haklali, because that person already knows the general principle. Asher iafshar lahem heyot bilto, which meaning that all of those details couldn't exist without that klal because they're all extensions of that general principle. So they naturally will fit back into that paradigm. V'chinam ruch hachamenu zichron livracha, and this is, to me, if we could have, you know, they would have a few. This would be one of the bumper stickers of the Midrashah, is this quote of the Ramchal, which he adapts. It's not a direct quote, as Marissa helped me clarify over the course of the summer. It's not a direct quote, but it is a legitimate paraphrase. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah.
It's a legitimate paraphrase of the Medr Sifrei and a couple of other sources. But these are the words of the Ramchal. Le'olam yihiyu divrei Torah biyadecha klalim velo pratim. And that's a very, very strong phrase based on Chazal. We're going to phrase it as Chazal said it. But certainly Ramchal said it. Le'olam, always, yihiyu divrei Torah biyadecha, words of Torah should always be in your hands when you're taking them in. Klalim velo pratim. Don't waste your time trying to memorize the details. Figure out the klalim, and that will help you, that will allow you to truly maintain the infinite details of Torah for all time. If God is infinite, His Torah is infinite. There's no way for us as finite, limited beings who are created to contain and maintain the infinite. But if we want to try to maintain as much of that infinite Torah as possible, or any other realm of knowledge for that matter, the only way to do it is Le'olam yiyu divrei Torah biyadecha kalim v'lo pratim. Don't get lost in the details. Build up your klalim, and then all the details will be able to be held into place when you come across them. This is one of the most masterful organizers of all Jewish history telling you, this is the way to accomplish the goal of understanding Torah. And again, on both sides, I keep repeating it, but just like really drive it home. Both in maintaining it, remembering it, but also organizing it within yourself in a meaningful way to begin with. Because every prat goes into its klal, which means it has its proper place, and then you maintain it because it exists within the klal. It exists within that vessel inside of you. Questions, thoughts, comments? Good? Okay. Achmashi tzarich b'diat ha-klalim, in terms of understanding the klalim themselves, hadat otam b'chol gvulehem u'b'chinotem, and this comes back to what we talked about last time, is to understand them based on the two parameters that we keep on coming back to. What is the klal in and of itself? And how does that klal relate to all other klalim? Understanding it intrinsically and relationally. Because all klalim, all knowledge, interacts with all other parts of knowledge. What are the borders and the boundaries of that klal? What are its limitations? What does it truly hold? And what is how does it relate to those things which it does not hold, to the other klalim, which hold other things? Va'afil dvarim shenir'im batchila ne'edrei ha-tolada, and even things that at the outset seem like they're superfluous, seem like they lack purpose. Tzarich shishmor otam, never let anything go. Any detail of a klal, any aspect of a klal, don't let it go. V'tasim lahem libchan, pay attention to them. V'lo tziya baz lahem, and don't mock them. Don't think that they're insignificant. If it was irrelevant to the klal, it wouldn't be part of the klal. If it's relevant to the klal and a part of the definition of that klal, even if there are no details that relate to it in your mind at the moment, that will create the groundwork to make sure that all of the pratim get to that klal over time. As our rabbi said, don't mock them. He's not giving you the quote here, but don't mock them because they're going to become significant later. There's nothing small or large. There is no aspect of a general principle. There is no aspect of any klal that will not play out in some prat at some point in a significant way. And that which won't impact in a significant way or remove in a way from some pratim, it'll have an impact on different pratim. Meaning not every aspect of a klal impacts everything within that klal. Like we talked about on your grocery list, for that example. So everything that falls into the, let's say on your grocery list, you only have vegetables. Is it a vegetable list or is it a grocery list? We already defined it. It's a grocery list. And if you change it and say, well, the other stuff is irrelevant, I only have vegetables here, let's call it a vegetable list, and then you get a text message, can you also pick up a piece of chicken? Now I'm totally confused. Chicken's not a vegetable. It's a silly example, but it emphasizes the point. Simply because no prat that I have in my hands at this moment fits into that klal, if I then mock it, or throw it away, or dismiss that detail, that aspect of the klal, I then lose the capacity to actually fill in the klal in its totality. Even if I don't have those details yet.
But every aspect of a klal is a prat.
Every aspect of a klal is a prat. Meaning descriptive aspects of what the klal is, as opposed to the details that fit into the klal. Which is a fine differentiation. Do we know what that is? Is it coming from a different room?
No.
Okay, it's fine. It's coming from a different room. What?
No.
Back inside. Uvayota klal klal likulam. Tzarich sheyebo mash yaspik likulam. And what makes the klal a klal is that it provides for all of the pratim that will come to it. Some of those details more, some of the details less. But any part that's truly a part of that klal, any any descriptive component of that klal is necessary for some of the pratim that will inevitably come into it. And without it, you'll be lacking. Al-Kain, Sarikshet didaktik bazem od, one needs to be very precise in this. V'titbonin al-inyanam, and contemplate the concepts about the concepts of that klal, of al-yachasehem, and the interrelationships between the klalim. V'kishrayam v'tiduk gadol, meaning again, you need to understand it very clearly inside and also interrelationally between the klalim. And to understand very clearly their immediate context as well as their relationship to the entire system. How one thing comes from another from the beginning to the end, and then one will truly be successful. That ends what I call section B. The importance of klalim. And what he's saying there at the end is not just to understand what a klal is in terms of its details, in terms of the descriptive aspects of the klal, which will allow all the details to fall into it, all the pratim to come into it, but also again to recognize the interrelationship between the klalim, and hishtalshalut is also a very strong word there. That sometimes it's not just like we talked about in the mashal at the beginning of the garden, right? Where you have the flower beds and the interrelationship between the flower beds. Sometimes the interrelationship is not just to make the full picture in and of itself in kind of a landscape sort of way. But sometimes it's important to understand in what way does one klal impact and lead to the next klal, which then impacts and leads to the next klal. Sometimes it can be a linear relationship, a progressive relationship from klal to klal. So what is the relationship between those klalim can be is very, very significant. Because then if you're missing one of the klalim, it's like a bridge with a big hole in the middle. You'll never be able to get to the other side. So understanding the relationships there are very important, both internally, interrelationally, and also progressively. Questions, thoughts, comments at this point at the end of this next piece of the introduction before we close it out? Everybody's really good? Okay, so to finish off, what I titled as Section C, how all this is the premise for and the structure of Derech Hashem. Why did we just spend all the time talking about this? I wanted to know about God. So says the Ramchal in the conclusion of the introduction, V'nei, al pi ha-dvarim ha'ele chibarti lecha korena im chibor katanze. Therefore, behold, according to these principles that I put together this book, sweet reader, says the Ramchal. This sweet little book, this little book called Derech Hashem, which encompasses the entirety of Jewish Hashkafa according to Kabbalah. He was also modest in his presentation. So did I put together this little booklet called Derech Hashem? V'kivanti bo lehatzia lefanecha klalei ha'emuna v'ha'avoda al boryam. My goal here was to set forth before you all of the klalim of emuna and avoda in their entirety, completely clearly. What's the interrelate? First of all, emuna and avoda are obviously very large words. All of the klalim of that exists within Emunah and Avodah. What would be the interrelationship between Emunah and Avodah, which is a class distinction that many Mefarshim on this line make? What would Emunah be relating to, and what would Avodah be relating to? It's been very frontal because we haven't gotten into the really like core of the text yet, so let's try to bring everybody in a little bit. Could be the inner part versus the outer part. That's not the distinction that's normally made, but that definitely could be true. There's many layers to the Ramchal writes anyway, so I would go with yes. Yeah?
Cause and effect.
How so?
Because you have a moon that you do a road.
Yeah, excellent. So you and Marissa are aligned in that, in the klal of what you're describing. The way that I've seen more classically written in the Svarim, which again does not negate it, I think that that's it, and therefore it would be progressive, and that's fantastic, is that Emunah is from God's side, understanding the God piece, and Avodah is what we do down here, our part in that structure. The Kalim of what is and what's happening and what we do within that. But I think that's not actually totally separated from Marissa and Aliza, your way of putting it forth as well. Be'ofen shetuchal la'amod aleihem al nachon, in a way where we can really stand on them properly, meaning we can really internalize them. V'yitzayru b'sichlecha tziyor maspik, that I can help you, says the Ramchal, build in your mind a complete picture. Mutsal min ha'irbuv v'amivucha, without any ambiguity or confusion. V'tir'eh sharshehem v'anfehem b'madregotam b'veyor ha'efsharim, and to show you the roots, where things start from, and the branches. That comes back to our linear model, right? A tree begins as a seed in the ground, it sprouts roots, comes up, and then eventually produces branches and leaves. So meaning we can understand everything progress in terms of the progression, all the way from its roots, and then all the way through the trunk and down to the branches and the leaves. Totally clearly. Sheyit yashvu alipcha, that it can really sit and be comfortable and be clear in your mind and in your heart. V'tikneu tam v'sichlacha, and you can truly acquire them in your mind. V'muvchar b'panim, in the best of ways. U'misham v'hala yakel alecha limsodat elokim b'chol chakei atarah u'pirusheha. And then after we set forth together, says the Ramchal, all of these klalim of emunah and avodah that I'm going to put together for you and clearly present to you in this sefer, it will be much easier for you to find a clarity of the knowledge of God in all of Torah and all of its pirushim and all of its exposition. V'la'amod al kol sitareah, and to even understand all of the secrets of Torah. That was him saying, but not saying, also understand the basics of Kabbalistic, the Kabbalistic side of Torah as well. Ki berchat Hashem Elokecha sheyitin lach, but recognizing, of course, as much as the Kadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon one to be able to understand. But he's claiming here that with the klalim, since knowledge needs to be organized, and the best way to first organize knowledge is through klalim, says the Ramchal, I am therefore going to give you all of the klalim with the greatest clarity possible in emunah and avodah, so you know exactly what it is that's happening in this world. And to be able to go and understand any part of Torah going forward, we should be able to fall into these basic klalim. It's a tall order that the Ramchal is setting out for himself and for us in this sefer. But that's why I prefaced it. That's why this sefer is so important. It's because of the recognition of how to obtain and hold knowledge, and that this book is based on those principles. It's a book of the entirety of Jewish Hashkafa based on those principles and how it was written and designed. Clear? V'hinei. Nishtadalti l'sader hadvarim. I worked very hard, Shadar Mechal, to organize things, unsurprisingly. B'sidur shenir'e liyoter na'ot, in the way that I find was most proper. U'v'milot shechashavti hayoter hagunot. Meaning, not only is this sefer carefully designed in terms of what's happening in Chelek Aleph Bet Gimel and Dalet, and in each perek of Chelek Aleph Bet Gimel and Dalet, and each seif of Chelek Aleph Bet Gimel and Dalet, everything here is very clearly and carefully chosen in terms of the order that I am presenting it to you, says the Ramchal. Additionally, I spent a lot of time carefully crafting each word that would convey that message. He contemplated every single word. In order to give to you a complete picture of these things, that I have set out to elucidate for you. Alkein, gamata'ata, take this to heart. Now each one of us here, you need to be very precise on all of these things as you go forward in my sefer, says the Ramchal. And to guard each thing I say and maintain it inside of you very carefully. Until you find use for everything that I set forth. Because everything here is intentional, everything here is part of a klal, everything here is part of a progressive klal. In Chelek Aleph, Perek Aleph leads to Perek Bet, leads to Perek Gimel, leads to Perek Dalet, leads to Chelek Bet. Everything here is progressive. So hold it, because you need to truly understand the klal, and each klal will impact the next klal. The Al Tivater Al Shum Dikduk. Don't overlook any precise word, any emphasis that's being put here. Pinit Alei Mimcha Inyan Hechrechi. Lest something will be hidden from you that's vital for your understanding of Judaism. from one word. In that way, it's also a very dangerous sefer. Every word here is carefully chosen. Don't skip over, don't miss. Aval ze asher taseh, what should you do, just in case you didn't get it? What should you do, says the Ramchal? Tigdakdik al kol hamilot. Be very precise in your understanding of every single word. V'tishtadel la'amod al tochen ha'inyanim, and work to make sure you understand every single inyan. V'la'atzor kol amitatam b'sich lecha, and retain it in your mind. Pay attention to each word as it builds up for you each concept, and then make sure to hold on for dear life to that concept because they all interrelate with each other. And then you will truly find the rest that you sought out and understanding that sense of completion of knowledge. Oh, this is what it's really about. This is what Judaism really expects from me according to his worldview. This is what Judaism is really about according to his worldview. All that's based on that premise. I want to emphasize that because that's why, one of the reasons why we didn't skip the introduction. The Ramchal here went out of his way to say, every single word counts. Every single concept counts. And I've, over time, used to be one person, now I've seen two individuals who have actually entirely skipped over and or paraphrased, maybe and or paraphrased, skipped over or paraphrased the introduction because it's boring, it's about logic, and chapter one because it's about God. And people aren't as interested in God these days as they used to be. That was the explanation that was given to me by a prominent rabbi who teaches Derech Hashem. I stopped going to that Derech Hashem class personally because the Ramchal just said to us, everything here is intentional and you can't skip. So yes, is it going to be tough for us to plow through this introduction? Yeah, you're wondering why did I just sit here for two times to hear about logic? The answer is to understand how key it is to the Sefer, which is why he bothered to put it in this introduction. And why are we going to learn about God? I feel silly even trying to answer that question. I don't understand. I never understood the Svara to actually skip over that parak. But okay. Especially since, what is the source of all things? God, that was not a trick question. God is the source of all things. So if everything here is progressional, if you don't understand the nature of what we can know about God and that being the source, everything else is irrelevant. And you've actually cut off the roots of the Sefer by taking out Chelek Aleph Perek Aleph. And what you have may be a very beautiful tree that's going to be very dead in a few weeks. So that's why we're not skipping anything and why kudos to you all for sticking through the introduction and hopefully Perek Aleph. And I am still guaranteeing you think it's definitely take on a whole new realm of practical significance starting from Chelek Aleph Perek Bet. But that's why we're not going to, because the Ramchal in his Sefer just said to us, whatever you do, don't skip anything. Second of all, we will do our best in this learning together to be medayik on each word. We could spend the whole semester on Chelek Aleph or Perek Aleph. We don't have the time to do that. I will try to offer some insights into certain words that need to be differentiated, but recognize that we're going to go as deep as we can go with the time that we have. But on your own, definitely continue to look for more and more insights in each word and each concept that you go through in the Sefer. The Sefer is a lifetime's worth of work to truly internalize and understand. We'll do the best that we can with 35 minutes twice a week. But I am going to go a little bit slower starting from Perek Aleph, because I do want us to make sure that we internalize at the very least the concepts and note as much of the details of the words as we can. Okay? Questions, thoughts, comments in terms of why this was important and how we're going to go forward? I need something.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, we'll finish out his introduction as he says, V'inei karati shema sefer azad derech Hashem. I have called the sefer, says the Ramchal, derech Hashem. The way of God. The path of God. Kinei hu klal midrachav yitbarach shemo. Because these are the klalim of the ways of God. The way he acts in this world, the way he lays out this world. This is going to be the paradigm for all of reality as it exists in its klalim. Shegilalanu al yedei nevi'av v'hudiyanu b'torato, as he gave over to us through his prophets, and he told us in his Torah. Uvahem minahalenu umenahel kol briotav, and through these principles does God guide us and the entirety of the world. Nothing less than that. And you'll see that he lives up to this over the course of the Sefer. V'chilakti oto le'arba chalakim, and I divided up this Sefer into four distinct parts, each one having prakim within inside of them, meaning there's different chapters within each chilek. Chelik Rishon, no biggie, we'll fly through it. Adabirbo al kol si yisodot hamitziyut upratav. We're going to cover all of the foundations of reality and its details. Slash, it might take us a few weeks. Maybe the entire semester. He covers literally, but he does do that, everything, the entirety of the foundations of reality and all of its details in their klalim. It's up to us to figure out how everything fits into that afterward. Chilek sheni, bashkachato yiparach shemo, how God guides the world. How does hashkacha actually work? How does God interact with the world on that level? How does he guide the world with a hand from above? Chilek shlishli nivu'ah, how does God literally interact with humankind? Nivuah is the way that God speaks to us, so to speak. So not just how does he guide the world, but then how does he actually relate to us in a more active way? Not in a more, not in a less, a more overt way, as opposed to a, the opposite of overt is?
Concealed.
More concealed way, but that wasn't the word I was looking for. Let's go with it, we're running out of time. V'chilek revi'i ba'avodah, and the last one is, how does the Avodas Hashem piece fit into it? Ve'ata achi, now my brothers, and in this case sisters, kol mevakesh Hashem. Two lines. Kol mevakesh Hashem. Ve'ata achi, now all of you who truly seek God, b'derech hazeh yilech, walk in this way, walk in derech Hashem, and walk in the derech of the sefer, says the Ramchal. Ve'Hashem yiyeh imchan, God will be with you. Ve'natan lecha inayim lirot, ve'oznayim lishmoa niflaot mitorato. That was a nice mix of a pasuk in Tehillim and a great pasuk coming up at the end of Devarim. That Hashem will give you the eyes to see and the ears to hear the wonders of God. Amen. Ken yiratzon. May that blessing be of the Ramchal be upon us as we embark daringly into Sefer Hashem, into Chelek Aleph, Perek Aleph, Bezrat Hashem, next Thursday.